Hey everybody, thank you for tuning into the 11th episode of The Virtual Couch. I'm your host, Tony Overbay. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, certified mindful habit coach, writer, speaker, ultra marathon runner, husband, father of four, and creator of The Path Back, an online pornography addiction recovery program that is helping people reclaim their lives from pornography addiction and compulsive sexual behavior. If you or anybody that you know is struggling with pornography addiction, please visit pathbackrecovery.com and sign up for my faith-based program. It consists of over 40 videos along with a workbook that will help you immediately with tools that will help you take back your life from pornography addiction. And even if you're not struggling with the problem yourself, if you have ever had a family member that does, if you're concerned about your children, your spouse, I do have a short ebook there that describes 5 common mistakes that people make when they are trying to overcome pornography addiction. And that's yours for free, and that can actually become something that will spark conversation in your family. So again, that's pathbackrecovery.com. Okay, I will be brief. I want to get right to the meat of the podcast, which is answering your questions. And remember, you can submit your questions either directly by emailing me at contact@pathbackrecovery.com, or if you go to virtualcouch.xyz, and yes, that's a real domain, I have a contact form at the bottom of the page, and you can submit any questions, comments, or suggestions through that contact form. And if you're interested in being a guest on The Virtual Couch, please use either means of contact to reach me as well. I've actually received a couple of great emails from authors, actually from a publicist as well, who represents an author for books that that these authors would like to come on and talk about that have to do with mental health. And I've scheduled a couple of those interviews in the coming weeks, and actually got one of those books in the mail today, and it's amazing. I'll talk more about that when we're scheduling that interview for sometime in November, but a really neat book about kind of a unique take on this author's struggles with anxiety and depression. So last week when I decided to record an episode answering your questions, I was set to record at the end of my day after seeing clients. And specifically, I had received a couple of questions about anger, where anger comes from and what to do with anger. And I really love talking about that. I've facilitated anger groups on anger management, and I work with a lot of clients who really struggle with trying to control their anger. So I wanted to get to that. And a colleague and friend, therapist Shauna Roberts, walked by in my office, and we were briefly bouncing ideas off of each other on how to handle a particular issue that we often see when working with couples. And I asked Shauna how late she was working, and she was done right when I was planning on recording. So I asked her if she could sit in with me and answer some of these questions. And I'm so glad that she did, because I felt like it was more of a discussion for some of these answers on both of our experiences with the questions that were asked. And I just feel like it was so much more powerful. So I think I'm going to look at maybe grabbing another therapist anytime I do these Q&As. And of course, that led to a couple of good stories, as well as one that I honestly didn't know if I was ever going to admit. And I will just set the stage by telling you, I will talk about, or I will tell a story, The Tale of Pierre Centré. And I'll give you the short version of the ad by our sponsor today, Eli's Extracts. Just go to elis-extracts.com. Look around, they're all natural organic shave creams scented with essential oils. Order, enter the coupon code VIRTUALCOUCH, all one word, at checkout and save 25% on your entire purchase. And remember, every time you shave, you're literally scraping off a layer or two of skin, leaving your skin exposed. So why expose that skin to the harsh chemicals and preservatives found in other shaving creams? Nope, make sure that your skin is covered and coated with all natural ingredients, including many of the healing properties found in essential oils. And that is what you will get using Eli's Extracts. So head over to elis-extracts.com. Use the coupon code VIRTUALCOUCH and do your skin a favor. Okay, so it goes without saying, thank you for your support. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share the Virtual Couch podcast to everybody you know. We've already made our way onto the iTunes charts, which I didn't expect to happen so soon. So that has just been really exciting to see. And again, the guests lined up, a lot of therapists talking about a lot of things. It's actually a little bit of a struggle to try and figure out how to fit everybody in and who to book and that sort of thing. So just some really, really great episodes coming up. So I thank you from the very bottom of my heart. So, well, actually, bottom of my heart. I don't know where that one came from. Not one of my go-to phrases, but a fun fact. I learned long ago the origin of bottom of my heart. I think this stuff's kind of fun. It was one of the Greek philosophers, I want to say Archimedes, I think, believed that it was the brain that actually pumped blood throughout the body, and that the heart was responsible with the thinking and feeling. So therefore, if somebody said, you know, thank you or I love you from the bottom of my heart, that was this, you know, it was basically the most dramatic and effective way that you could communicate that because of that's where all your feelings came from the very bottom of your heart. The heart had nothing to do with pumping the blood back in that day. That was from the brain. Bottom of your heart, that's where the feelings were from. So I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. And again, I want to thank Aurora Florence for her song, It's Wonderful, at the end of every Virtual Couch episode. And again, my thanks to Shauna for taking the time to answer your questions. I think you're going to enjoy it. So now, on to the Q&A and the curious tale of Pierre Santre. Like you've had a tough session. Your eyes are red.
Yes, very red. The smoke is killing me.
Are you sure it's the smoke or was it something sad? Did somebody talk about a puppy or something like that?
Yes, I got very into my last session.
Okay. I'm here with Shauna Roberts. Shauna is a colleague of mine. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we practice together. That sounded a little bit odd. Yeah, we play catch, right?
We practice
together, right?
But we are
in the same building office, work at Bridges Counseling Center in Roseville,
yes.
California.
Yes.
So I brought Shauna on because I thought it would be kind of fun. I've been talking about, and I'm so grateful for all the questions that I get submitted through contact@pathbackrecovery.com or the contact form at virtualcouch.xyz. Did you know that's a real domain ending, .xyz?
You're pulling my leg.
No, I have it.
Is it really?
Yeah. If you go to virtualcouch.xyz, there are all my podcasts.
XYZ.
Yeah. I had to. I mean, I could have got some of the other ones, but I thought that one's just too cool.
It's way too cool.
Yeah. Virtualcouch.xyz. There's a contact form on the bottom
and you
can submit questions. So I have some great ones and I thought it would be fun. I'm going to have Shauna on a little later to talk about a specific therapy related topic, right?
Yes.
But so today I thought she would be able to weigh in on some of the questions that we have, but I was kind of making a joke. Shauna has some red eyes. She looks like she's been crying.
Yeah, but it's not. It's all of the residual smoke from the horrible fires.
Okay, because you moved up the hill, right?
I did. So you didn't even ask me about that earlier.
No.
We actually had two fires, the McCourtney fire and the Lobos fire right up by us, which
got
a little bit too close for comfort.
Okay.
I stayed home a couple days. Husband stayed home a couple days, just keep an eye on everything. But they got those under control very quickly, unlike our friends in the Valley wine country who lost, I mean, how many thousands of acres.
And you have people you know that are affected by that.
Family members who were displaced by that. Very scary time. Horrible.
Where you're up there, is the smell of smoke thick? I mean, is that a...
You know, it's interesting because we're up higher, not necessarily. If we have a fire up there, then yes. But where it became really bad is I would come down the hill, down the 80 towards Roseville, and you could just see it hanging in the air.
Wow.
And they're just so thick. And so my eyes are just killing me. It's better today, but the past couple days have been terrible.
Okay. Well, I am grateful for you sticking around.
I'm here. I'm ready to do this.
Okay. So I want to jump in. First of all, do you have any specialties that you want to talk about? What do you want? I mean, what is your passion? What do you like the most about therapy? What are your ideal clients?
Tony, that's a loaded question. You know me, I'm eclectic. I kind of work with everything.
Mm-hmm.
But recently in the past year, I have really developed this intense desire to work with a couple specific populations. One, people who are living with problem gambling.
Oh, wow.
So gambling addiction.
Yeah.
I am one of the few contracted therapists through the state of California, which pays for clients to have free therapy if they meet the criteria. It's a wonderful program.
Any idea where people go to find out about that?
They can go to the Office of Problem Gambling. .com.
Yes. There you go.
If they just
.gov.
Google that, .gov, most
Maybe?
Likely.
Okay.
Yes, I probably should know that.
That's okay. I'll edit this in and it'll be this robotic voice, problemgambling.
Perfect.
Okay.
And then, of course, my other passion, which is very similar to the population you work with, is betrayal trauma and sex addiction. Whereas you tend to work more specifically with sex addiction, I have a true passion for working with spouses, partners of those who are affected by SA.
That's what we're going to need to circle back around and talk about, right? Because that's going to be, there's so much, there's a lot of focus on the person who is the addict, but not a lot on the spouse, right?
But we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. We're bringing that kind of out of the shadows. Thank you, Patrick Carnes, into the light. And we're looking more at betrayal trauma.
Yeah.
And that's its whole thing in and of itself. And I'm very excited about working with that
population. Okay, so we'll get there. And Shauna and I worked on cases together, and it's kind of nice. Sometimes I get to work with the guy, Shauna works with the woman, and
or vice versa. Yep. We've done
it's fun.
Good.
Okay, so first question, and this was got what kind of had me thinking about. I wanted to do a whole episode on questions. Here is the question. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm off. Go.
What do I do to stop being so angry? And they even put an exclamation part. So I think they were angry when they said this question.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't in all caps, they weren't yelling it.
Well, thankfully.
Right?
Because we get that, right, at times.
Yeah, yeah. So,
why don't you take that and I'm going to come up behind you.
Okay, sounds good. So, you know, this was the one I kind of prepared for, I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
So I went to a study. I heard, first of all, let me ask you, I feel like even a decade ago or more, in almost any therapy office, or, you know, we used to work at a clinic together, a nonprofit together, and there would be punching bags in a lot of the offices.
Oh,
the
yes.
Bozo the Clown ones.
Bozo the Clown ones, or the referee guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the referee guy?
Yes.
He had a name, and I don't remember his name, but...
Had to be alliteration. Ron the ref? I don't know.
Something. It was.
Was it?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the theory there was, man, when you're angry, go punch the punching bag.
Right.
And I remember even being in grad school in here, and, you know, sometimes I just have people scream into a pillow or hit a pillow or whatever it is, right?
Right.
It's the theory there being that when you get angry, you just got to let off some steam.
Right. You're going to drain that negative energy.
Yeah. So then you will be super happy and peaceful and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay. So that now we know is not correct.
Right.
So I looked up this study that I thought was pretty cool. It said back in 1999, people were presented with some sort of frustrating situation. For the sake of time, we'll just say, hey, it left them really angry. So they were angry. Everybody in this study was angry. So soon afterwards, some of the people were given an opportunity to punch a punching bag, whether it's Bozo the Clown, Referee Ron, we don't even know, for 2 minutes. And that's a lot of punching.
That's a lot of punching.
It is kind of funny, right?
When you think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're there, you've got the punching bag. 2 minutes, though, if you really think about what that would entail, that is a long time.
I have to tell you, I will not go too far on this tangent, but when I was in college, we had fraternity fight night.
Oh.
I was a freshman, and so I was like, you know what? I've never been in a fight in my entire life. I'm in good shape.
I'm doing it.
And so I trained a little bit, and then it was super hard training and exhausting, and I got into spar one time, and about 30 seconds in, I was just wiped out. So kind of backed out. So yeah, 2 minutes of punching.
That's a long time.
Okay. So 2 minutes. So some people, one group did 2 minutes of punching, others did nothing at all. So then a short time later, I think this is funny, everybody played a game against a fictional opponent. And over the course of the game, participants had a chance to punish their opponent with blasts of noise.
Okay. I love this.
I know. These studies are always great, right?
I would
right?
just be pushing the button just because I'm that
I know,
person.
Right? A little bit of test bias there.
Yeah.
So the loudness of the noise and the length of the noise have been used as measures of aggression. So they're trying to see then what happens with, you know, how aggressive people are, whether they punch the punching bag or whether they did nothing at all. So the belief is, and there's this thing called catharsis, which is what you were talking about.
Yeah.
If you drain every bit of anger out of your body, then you reach a state of catharsis and you're happy and chill and all those things. So the belief in catharsis would be that people would be less aggressive if they had a chance to punch the punching bag after getting angry than if they did to sit and do nothing at all.
Okay.
Instead, probably see where this one's going.
I did.
The opposite result was obtained. So the people who punched the punching bag were actually more aggressive than the people who did nothing.
Interesting.
Yeah, right? And I remember, I've thought about this a lot, and anytime I see a punching bag around still, or I hear, you know, now I know that this has kind of become just pop psychology lore, right?
Totally. Yeah, totally.
So here's what, punching a punching bag makes a connection for people between anger and aggression. So it reinforces the link between being angry and then acting in an aggressive manner, which makes sense,
It totally makes sense.
So these connections between emotional states and behavior are, I mean, that kind of then just over time reinforced. Then as we get angry, then it's just going to say, it's going to trigger us to get even more angry.
Right.
Yeah. Which
Absolutely.
Just kind of, so the results of course say that it's better to be able to sit. And I know we both like to talk about mindfulness and meditation.
Yep.
And so
That's
even just
right.
to be able to remove yourself, breathe, get focused, present,
Right.
That kind of does it.
Well, and one of the things about anger that I try to work with my clients on is, you know, anger is there for a reason.
Mm.
You know, when you think about it, right, anger is our protection against the more tender emotions that we don't necessarily want to deal with or feel, right?
Okay.
So it's an opportunity for introspection. What is anger masking? What is anger keeping me from looking at, talking about, dealing with? And I have had some of the most powerful sessions when I will allow that anger to come up in session and then just ask the person to sit there with it.
Okay. What's going on? What's underneath it?
Where are you feeling it? What's coming up? Tell me what you're thinking. There's a lot of techniques, you know, down arrow technique we can use, but you know, I find that that is the quicker way to move somebody through their anger
Yeah.
Right? And get to some answers.
Yeah. That's cool. That is. And so the what that just made me think about, too, is that how much do you feel like things like man brain come into play? You know, how much is it that because you're saying we kind of got to get them vulnerable, right?
Right.
So what's the risk when somebody's going to be vulnerable, especially guys?
Yeah, they don't want to go there.
They don't. Why?
Well, it's, who wants?
Yeah, it's not macho. Rub a little dirt in it. Lone Ranger, cool. John Wayne, all that.
Why am I going to do that? You know, you can ask, you know, take a random sampling of men and ask them legitimately how many times they cried in their lifetimes.
Yeah.
You will get those guys who can say, I can count on one hand.
Yeah.
Any time I was a kid.
It was Old Yeller.
Yep.
Air Bud.
Yep. You got it.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. Rudy.
Rudy?
Rudy.
Okay, there's four times right there.
Right there.
Right?
And maybe if they have kids when the kid made the entrance into the world. And that's a maybe.
That's a maybe.
Okay. That's a maybe, okay? That's
fair. Okay, I want to get to these other questions too, but I have to tell you, so what just came to mind too, I went to a training once, and they were kind of talking about when you get that whole fight or flight thing, anger, adrenaline going through your body. The guy who was doing the training said, okay, here's these things that the best way to eliminate it is to get to the top of a giant mountain with a completely open 360-degree view.
Okay.
So kind of not here in the area,
right? Nope.
Okay. And then and the thought behind that is, of course, then at that point now you can recognize there are no threats or fear or
absolutely
whatever. So you can calm down. Yeah. But then number two, which I thought was funny because this is embarrassing for me to admit, mm-hmm, but then he was like, what I do often is if I've got a client who's pretty angry in the room or in a couple setting, mm-hmm, I'll say, hey, can you just run out to the waiting room? I want you to grab the Time magazine and I want you to turn to page 15, right? And I think I'm taking notes and I'm like, oh, well, what's on page 15?
Right.
I'm like, well, he's got some time that's got something great on 15.
Right. He circled it.
Yeah. No. It doesn't matter what's on.
Distraction.
Yeah. Distraction, right?
Yeah. And I think, again, and you're right, you brought up the gender thing. And I think, you know, you have to understand the person you're with and mm-hmm working with therapeutically. But I honestly believe anger should not be feared. Anger is something we try to, you know, turn off or shove down, but it's an opportunity to learn something about yourself.
Okay,
right?
But you have to be willing to kind of go there,
You have to be willing to understand what's my anger about.
Uh-huh.
You can't, right?
No, that's perfect. Okay, so, and then another fun fact on that training that I learned.
Yes.
So he kind of said that once you're, all that stuff's going on, the chemicals, the fight or flight, adrenaline's in your body, he said it can take between 30 and 45 minutes for it to leave your system.
It does.
So I thought that was interesting because a lot of times we'll get all fired up and then it's like, you know, still, it's like, oh, I still feel angry or what's wrong with me? Well, and that's normal.
John and Julie Gottman, I think have done a beautiful job. If you're familiar with John and Julie, right? You know, eons of work with this, and they call it being flooded, right? So when they're working with couples and somebody gets agitated, they'll actually have them wear a pulse ox, right? You know, the little thing on your finger that measures your pulse and takes all your vitals. And as it starts to ping, that's telling you you're above a 5 on the Richter scale, right?
Wow. Okay.
So you're flooded and your central nervous system is on fire.
Yeah.
And they always said it takes 30 to 45 minutes to return back to baseline.
Okay.
Right. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, if you're fired up, that's not the time to have a conversation. That's not the time to problem solve.
Yeah.
Right. Get yourself back to baseline.
Okay. I dig it. Okay. So are you ready for just random questions?
Let's do it. Bring it on.
I think there's one that I would love to start. I'll ask you, 'cause I think you will like this one.
Okay.
What should I do if my therapist upsets me?
Oh, I love that. That is such a great question.
Okay.
So before I answer that, have you had that happen to you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I actually love that someone will let me know that, because the worst part is every now and again you'll get somebody that'll come back a couple of weeks later and say, hey,
I was really angry at you.
And it's like, man, if they wouldn't have told me that, you know? Yeah. So, okay. You go.
So, same thing. I think early in our careers, we probably would have avoided that mm-hmm or been fearful of that, right? Now I welcome it.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Because it's an opportunity, again, mm-hmm, for growth. Because in that moment, honestly, unless I've done something really egregious, right, it's about them. Something's being triggered, something's being activated, and it's an opportunity to go deeper.
Yeah.
Right? So I love it when I can read on my client that I've stepped on a landmine, and they're upset, and they're going to project that back on me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an opportunity to say, what's going on right now?
I had a client, and I love this one, so she... I think I did drop a tiny bit into cliche mode, in a response to something that she put out there. And I was so grateful that she said, I could tell something was wrong. And I did a good old, hey, what's going on? I can tell your whole demeanor changed. What's going on there?
Something's happening.
And she just said, I kind of feel like you just dismissed me. And I feel like anytime I really put something out there through my whole life, I just get dismissed.
Oh, see?
Yeah, right.
Right there. Yeah. But I think bottom line, to answer that question specifically, never, ever be afraid to tell your therapist, hey, I'm upset. What you said upset me. I didn't like that. You know, you're the consumer here. Mm-hmm. Speak up. Advocate for yourself. If that's hard for you, if you have problems with confrontation, send them an email after.
Sure.
Jot them a little thing. And you have to know that we as therapists, that goes along with the territory. We're okay with that. We welcome that.
Yeah. Right? I always say, I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me, ask me questions on why I even asked the question I did.
Absolutely.
Or where am I going with that? Right. Or why do I feel even qualified to talk about the thing that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Or, and I do know that, I think in old school therapy though, right, the therapist is supposed to bounce those right back. Why is that important to you? Right. But I mean, I do person-centered, client-centered, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So that, okay. I like that.
Yeah. Every once in a while with specific populations though, personality disorder spectrum, right. Then I do become the mirror.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to put that right back because I know therapeutically, clinically, it has whatever's happening for them isn't about me in that moment.
Okay.
Right. So I think, again, it comes back to you kind of have to know your population.
Yep.
Right. You know who's sitting across from you. But to the client themselves, never, ever be afraid to bring up that you're upset or something was said. Ever.
Yeah, because if you do have a therapist that says, I can't believe you asked that question,
don't come back.
I was like, you're done.
You're
right?
Done. Yep. That's it.
Absolutely.
Ask for a refund.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
You're
that's kind of good. That is. When you were talking about when you were a new therapist, do you remember, is it kind of almost funny to look back on what your skill set was at that time?
Oh my gosh. I look back at some of the things that I did. You're scrambling. You know, I can remember sitting there in front of a client going, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to help you with that. And then going home to my supervisor, you know, emailing them or pulling up every book that you have. And, you know, it's a tough road. You can only learn so much in school.
Yeah.
Right. And then you get thrown into the fire and that's where all your education comes
in. I always think about this. I went from this like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
To then what would a real therapist say
absolutely.
Now? Right.
I love it.
Yeah. And then it was like having that confidence to then I'm going to say what the real therapist would say.
Yeah.
And
then
finally becoming the real therapist.
What a great journey there. I love that. I think that's so true. And I think we all had that moment where we felt like, not that we're the be all and end all,
right.
Not like that, but that we've arrived. We've honed our craft. We're confident in the things that we say. And no longer do you run home at night, I've got to find the answer to that question in some book, right?
Yeah.
Now we just know.
So are there, anything come, and I'll tell you, I'm setting you up for something. I'm curious, have you ever had though things where you do get a little bit offended? I mean, you can't say that out in the session, but do you ever kind of go, wow, okay, that one stung a little bit?
Oh, for sure.
Anything come
we
to mind?
Do.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can I tell you one that I get often?
Do.
So I do a lot of work with,
I'll bet it's the same one I'll get.
Okay. Well, I do a lot of work with like, single adults. So people who have been divorced and they're kind of getting back out there. Right.
Uh-huh.
So I love working with that population because you know, I do a lot of this work with, okay, let's identify what is it that you want in a companion now?
Right.
You know, it's kind of the good old, the list.
Totally.
And I've got those examples where somebody will say all these things that are important and then they run out to the cell phone store and there's a hot guy there and he's checking them out and they're like, okay, I know he doesn't have all of those things,
but I feel it.
Yeah, but so I love when I'm working with that. And I can't tell you, I am not a tall man. Have you ever noticed this, Shauna?
No.
Haven't you?
It's so shocking that you're saying that.
Yeah, yeah. So I maybe, you know, if I'm, shoes on, it's a good 5'8". That's a stretch, right? So, but I've sat with a couple of times where women have been, okay, so, you know, I really want him to be this or this, whatever. And you know what? And he's got to be tall. I mean, he's got to be at least 5'10". I don't need some little midget, you know, or short, tiny, whatever. And I'm just like, I'm right here, right?
Right.
And then best is when I get the double where then it's like, and he's got to have hair. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm so tired of, you know, the guys with no hair.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm thinking, you're talking to a 5'8 bald man, right?
Are you aware of that
right.
in any way? But they're not.
Nope.
You know, they're
and that's okay. So I never do the whole, oh, how dare you? You know, so, okay.
Yeah.
What comes to mind for you?
You know, I think, I have always been, a working mom. I have never not worked, right? That's, I'm just passionate about it. And I understand there's a big debate. I have always been a better mom when I do work to my kids, but I can't tell you how many times that's come up.
Oh, I bet.
You know, well, you wouldn't understand that because, you're a career woman or whatever, you know, so many times, and it's not meant maliciously, but they truly feel like you're never going to understand what I go through as a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and, but that's opened up great conversation.
Sure.
You
yeah.
know, we've really been able to go deep into, well, what does that mean? Yeah. You know, why is that surfacing? But
okay,
I think we all get offended at times.
It, absolutely. Right. Yeah. So I do have, there's one other one with the height that I don't think I've ever talked about either. So I once had a client, he was about 6'10" and so, mm-hmm. and had a gorgeous head of hair too. I mean, just not fair at all. Right.
At all.
So it was when we used to work at the nonprofit and yeah. I'm walking back and there's a pretty lengthy hallway. Right.
Yep,
so I'm
long.
Building a little mm-hmm. bit of rapport and I say, hey, so, man, what's the worst thing about being 6'10"? Right. And doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. We're walking back. Mm-hmm. We sit in my office and I kind of say how, you know, he probably didn't hear me, but I just made this joke about what's the worst thing about being 6'10". And he's like, mm-hmm. no, I was trying to think about it. I, you know, nothing really. And then he's like, oh, I guess, you know, airplane seats. It's like, okay.
Like,
all right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks
sure.
for that. That
yeah.
made me feel a whole lot better.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was like, and you know what? I can stick my legs straight out on an airplane.
That's so. Right. I can.
That's right. Okay. All right. Ready for another one?
All right. Let's go.
Okay. How, oh, okay. I want, why therapy? Can't I just talk to my friends and get the same advice?
That is a question that I have gotten so many times, not from my clients, but for people in my social
mm-hmm.
circle, right?
Sure.
Why would I pay for therapy? You know,
mm-hmm.
I could just go talk to my friend.
Yeah.
So look, let's get logical about
okay.
it. Of course you can go to your friends and family to vent, right? And that's what it is. You're venting, you're sharing your frustrations. Most of the time, you're going to get their take on that.
Yeah.
The answer is going to be based on their own thoughts, feelings, values, right? They're going to give you an opinion,
mm-hmm.
right? Therapy has nothing to do with an opinion. Now, every once in a while, we will weigh in with a clinical opinion.
Yeah, no, I
when
like
asked,
this. Yeah.
Right? But that's not our job. We are not there to offer up our opinion about or offer advice.
That's, yes.
No advice, right?
Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind. If you're in a therapy session and you feel like your therapist is giving you advice, again, I'd say you need to shop for a different therapist.
Okay, we've never talked about this, and that is exactly what I would have said too. And
yeah.
I even think that there's a couple of therapists that I kind of know that I feel
yeah.
like, you know, they are good at telling people what they need to do. You know?
Absolutely.
So I had when I was in grad school, my sensei,
mm-hmm.
Darlene Davis, who I'm gonna have on the podcast soon. Do you know Darlene? Super wonderful. Yeah.
Isn't that Shelley's?
Old sensei? I don't know. Good question.
Darlene did
yeah.
this. Anyway, I know Darlene's
okay.
name. Never
so,
heard.
So she did this thing that I thought,
yeah.
and I'm not huge on the experiential stuff where
uh-huh.
it's like we're going to get up and we're going to, you know, whatever,
what?
Do something
no
in the room.
Virginia Satir? You're not going to family
tough.
Sculpt?
No,
come
I'm kind of tough with that. But
okay.
but here's one she did that I loved. She just said, so a lot of people think, and this goes
uh-huh.
back to the people that say, why can't I talk to my friends? That
yeah.
if they go to therapy, it's like if they're sitting on one side of the wall.
Right.
One side of the room, and then the therapist is on the other, and the
right.
therapist is just like, hey, all right, come here, go left, go right,
yep.
Watch out for that, duck under that,
oh, that's so
and you're
great.
Here. I know, right? And she said,
so
nope,
great.
And then she did the thing where she walks over, and she gets beside the person, and then she just says, okay, where are we trying to get to, right? And the guy's like, over there. She's like, okay, what's in front of us? Well, it's this desk.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what do you think about desks?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, I was attacked
yeah.
in a desk factory as a child, so this is tough for me, you know? And right? How cool is that?
Tony, this is so interesting, because one of the things, I never heard another therapist say that because my kind of shtick a lot to clients,
yeah.
especially when there's trauma or we're going through something real difficult, I'll say, you know, I'm here to walk beside you.
Yep.
That's my job. I am not here to remove the blocks for you.
Yeah.
I'm not here to steer you around the, you know, bumps in the road. We're going to walk it together.
Yep.
And
tell me what this brings up for you,
yep.
what, you know, and
yep.
right.
We're going to explore every nook and cranny together, but it's your journey.
Yeah.
I'm just here to facilitate and walk beside you.
Okay.
So I love that she says that. I'm going to have to steal that because
well,
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. You got
to
give me credit and Darlene credit.
Darlene, you're
okay.
amazing. Tony, you know what I think.
Sure.
Right.
I almost feel like this is the moment where we drop the mic and we leave. I mean, that was kind of like deep, right? Yeah. Okay. You said Satir, right?
Love Virginia Satir.
Okay. I probably studied about her for my licensing exam. But I'm drawing a blank. But here, can I tell you what that brought up for me?
Okay.
And this is a story that I wanted to get to at some point, and I will try to make it somewhat quick, right?
Okay.
So when I So I did my practicum work at the Child Abuse Prevention Council of California.
Got it.
So, and they sent me to a ton of trainings and a ton of, so I was doing work with kids and,
right.
and I think I've talked on other podcasts. That wasn't my sweet spot, yeah. you know, and there are people that love it and are passionate about it. And, yeah. and I'm so grateful for that.
Good training.
Yeah,
good
it training, is great right? training. Mm-hmm. And so, but I went to all these different trainings and they used to talk a lot about, sand tray, right? Mm-hmm. So I realize I'm not paying a whole lot of attention when they're talking about that. So uh-huh. I work up this narrative where it's like, okay, I bet it sounds French. So it's got to be this guy, I'm guessing maybe like Pierre Sandre. And what does he do? And what's his model? And I'm like, man, I got to look this up, right?
Oh, boy.
So then finally,
Are you kidding me right now?
No. I know, right?
Oh, Tony.
And so I think I even have it written on here somewhere, Pierre Sandre. I've been dying to talk. Yeah, look at this. The tale of Pierre Sandre. So what I learned, Shauna,
yes.
was there is no Pierre Sandre, nor is there a Jean-Michel Sandre.
Nope.
Or a Jean-Luc Sandre.
Nope.
The word is sand tray.
And what do we know about sand tray now, Tony?
So now we know that that's where we get to play with toys in the sand tray. And then the therapist gets to interpret that when the guy puts the army man by the tiger, that he has some like childhood trauma.
You got it.
Right?
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, and then.
Can we put to rest Mr.
Pierre Sandre?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good one, Tony.
Thank you.
Wow. So we're going to pretend that you actually didn't ever study Virginia Satir. We're going to just gloss. You might want to edit that out.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Sure.
She's kind of like, you know, one of the masters.
She's a big deal.
Big
right?
deal. Big
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
But honestly, family sculpting.
You oh, yeah. Sculptures, drum. Clay. I get it. The whole thing. So the other thing that I'm thinking, I have to tell you this. Okay, so you know how when you're in school, too, you're supposed to go get your own therapy? You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, gosh.
So
yeah.
I was trying to at first be lazy about it. So I wanted to find somebody around my house. And so I forget what directory I went into, plugged in my zip code. And oh, somebody no. was just a couple miles away. And it turns out that they were working out of their home.
Huh.
So I go there and I'm like going to take the tour, which uh-huh. is fine.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of had this whole sand tray thing.
Fresh in your mind.
Yeah, right. And I knew now sand tray.
Yeah.
So they're showing me, they're walking me back and they kind of show me one room. And then... Right. And then there's this cat that kind of runs out of the room and there's a litter box there. So I laughed at myself so hard.
Did
I'm
you?
Like, oh, combo sand tray and litter box.
It's perfect.
Right?
For the therapist that works out of their home.
Right. It's and so great. Every now and again, you have a kid in there and he's like, hey, what's this rock? You know, yeah. or whatever.
You know,
she's
Roca.
Like, oh, let me get that.
It's fine.
Right. Yeah.
yeah
so,
no. Okay. Don't put yeah. that in your mouth. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Tony,
yeah maybe I'm going to want to edit that part.
Yeah. It's kind of sure. funny, though.
I okay.
Funny.
All right, how long we want to take another one?
Yeah. Let's do
okay,
another
let's
one.
Do.
Let's do
okay.
one more. This is fun.
So we just did. Talk to my friends. Get the same advice. Okay. There's one. Oh, here we go. This is good. What if there are topics I don't want to talk about or I'm not ready to share?
Okay.
Okay.
This is also a very important one.
Okay.
I think first and foremost, your therapist is not there to interrogate you,
ooh,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I think there's this fear
mm-hmm.
that people are going to sit on that couch and they're going to be held captive by
yeah.
this person who's going to dig and dig and dig. Not at all. You know, we're there to meet the client where they're at,
mm-hmm.
wherever that is, right? And our job is to pick up on either those conscious or unconscious processes, clues, things that are coming up and get the client to explore them. We are not there to push our agenda,
yeah,
right, at all.
Yeah.
And I will say, I am sure that there are some therapists out there that do that.
Yeah.
And that is a really quick way to lose a client.
It is. Right? I love that. And I will say, I do now kind of in that first session where you're talking about confidentiality and all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do try to throw a little something in there that said, you know, I know that this isn't natural, I guess, to come in and talk to a strikingly handsome, tall bald guy.
Right.
Right. And
right.
and unload all of your problems. I know that's not maybe natural, but the sooner that you can kind of be
right.
open and vulnerable, the better, because I think maybe we've all had therapists where we've had these situations where you're 6, 7, 8 sessions in and somebody's saying, hey, by the way, did I tell you that, you know, I don't know, I'm a serial killer? You're like,
yeah.
oh, that would have been nice to know early on. Right?
Right at the beginning.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, and I've got stories that I don't, you know, for the sake of confidentiality, but I mean, I had a couple session a little while ago where there was a pretty big reveal with about 15 minutes left that would have changed the entire session. And it, you know, and
right.
it was, you know, and I don't kind of say, are you kidding me? Why didn't you let that? Because
right.
I know some people
right.
aren't quite ready.
Right.
right?
They aren't. And
yeah.
it, so funny. This exactly happened to me today.
Okay.
My second client, you know, I think... you know you're dancing around an issue.
Yep.
Right? You know there's something there and you don't want to push too hard because you want it to kind of come out organically,
yeah.
right? And to me, it's a sign that we're doing really good work when a client will say to you, you know, there's this thing that I've not wanted to share or talk about, but I'm feeling so safe now, or I feel like this is, you and I are exploring together in a really safe way, and now I'm going to tell you the thing, right?
Yeah, you do have to earn that. You do have to earn that at times, too, because even we talked about, Sean and I are a part of a pretty cool training going on right now, and today, so awesome. Some of the stuff that we talked about, shout out to Dr. Kevin Skinner, right?
Very great.
So one of the things he talked about was, it was even that part of, if somebody has not had anybody that they can trust, that's going to be hard for them to walk right in and then again trust a strikingly handsome bald man. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's going to work.
Sure.
Well, so let's, on that, I think we can't end this unless we also then maybe talk about countertransference just a little bit.
Okay.
Right?
You go.
Because I think oftentimes a therapist will get triggered, right, by something that the client is talking about because it was their own experience.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, we can come up with a dozen different examples for that. So I think it's important that the client pay attention to if they feel like the therapist is starting to steer them right in a particular direction or trying to pigeonhole them into, you know, this is how you feel.
I think that, like, good examples, like if a, let's say a therapist, you know, had grown up and there was alcohol abuse or something like that in their family. And then you've got a client in here who's, they're kind of minimizing it or that's not what they're here to talk about. And they maybe say, just in passing, you know, sure, we get drunk, we fight, but, you know, and the therapist might say, well, where are the kids? Well, they're in their rooms, they aren't hearing anything, right? Well, if that therapist had a situation where growing up, they remember these drunken arguments and stuff, all of a sudden they're like, no, we need to keep talking about
this. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you can, I think, I've heard many stories where, you know, the therapist can get a little bit pushy with, you know, we are going to, you're
avoiding. Yeah, you don't understand, right? This is important. Yeah.
So I think the concept of countertransference is something that isn't going to happen all the time. And, and a really good therapist is going to manage that. They're going to seek supervision. If they get triggered in a session, they're going to talk about it. I think I've talked to you.
Yeah, we have. We've talked together.
All of the therapists here have talked about times where countertransference has come up. It's normal. But if you are feeling that as a client, don't be afraid to say, I kind of feel like you're making this about you.
Yeah.
Or I feel like you're taking this in a direction that I'm not comfortable
with. Yeah. Right? Saying I don't necessarily feel like this is...
Right. This isn't what I'm here to talk about.
Yes.
Or that's not my experience at all, you know? So I think that's an important thing to bring up to people.
Yeah, that's good. You mentioned, this is where I'm going on my train of thought, right?
Okay.
But at one point a few minutes ago, you said something about coming in and sitting on the couch. Do you have anybody lay down?
Oh my gosh. I have people who lay down all the time.
Do you really?
Well, you have pillows.
Yep.
I'm holding one right now. Very comfortable.
Yeah.
I will have people kind of curl up,
you
know, and they'll hold on to that. And then there's people who just want to stretch out. Lay on their back, throw their feet up, but that's why we have the couch.
Right,
you know,
it is.
Whatever.
I just love, though, that there's that stereotype. So, I mean, I love when I get somebody, a rookie, into therapy, and sometimes they will say, do I lay down?
Do I lay down?
Right?
Oh, I get it all the time. Am I supposed to lay down?
Yeah.
No, do whatever. And then when they get comfortable and they come in, and I even have a blanket, you know, if people's cold or whatever, you know, they throw the blanket on, get comfy. To me, that says, you know what? We're doing our job.
Yeah.
You know, we've created that safe space. We've created that nice environment for the client to come in and feel, let their guard down, where they can lay down. That's a very vulnerable position.
Yeah, it kind of is, right? I had a client once who would just stare up at the ceiling and talk, and that was, it was great, right?
Yeah.
But so there was once where I thought, man, I've kind of got a headache, and I've got an ibuprofen in my bag.
Yeah.
So I thought, I wonder if I can kind of sneak one of these things out, you know? And so.
Did you do it successfully?
Maybe. Just kind of stuck my hand over slowly to see, you know, if the guy was going to look over. Yeah.
Do it?
And I got it. Yeah. He never even knew.
Well, and I think the other thing to remember, too, is, well, we've all had our own individual therapy. It's part of our training, right? And I know what that's like to sit across from someone who's kind of staring at you intently, even though it's with compassion and empathy. It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so I think for some people, laying down where they don't have to look right at
you. Yeah, no, that's true.
It kind of feels good.
Yeah.
That made me think of, I have to give a shout out to Sean Davis, who was my sensei.
Oh, he's a good guy. Yeah.
Dr. Davis, amazing. And he told of a situation once where he was dealing with a teen boy. Teen boy was obviously very uncomfortable about coming to therapy. And the kid wanted to lay down on the couch, kick their feet up. And so there was another couch in the room. And Sean just mimicked that.
Love it.
You know?
Okay.
Just mimicked it. Kind of met the kid where he was at, tossed his feet up too, you know, kind of put his hands, you know, up above his head. And they just kind of talked. And I thought, that's a great therapist.
Okay, so of course now I'm going to sound like, oh yeah,
let me one up you.
Right, exactly. But I love that. I mean, it's funny. I'm wearing slip-on shoes today because I have a client today that we take our shoes off, and that's just kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. And then I love with teens in particular with the curvature of that couch and this chair, where sometimes I do say, all right, we're gonna slide back and we're just gonna look up and it, whatever it is to make them feel comfortable. Yeah,
you've got to do whatever you need to do as a therapist within. Boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, where I just thought about that too. Have you ever seen my snack cabinet?
I have seen, Tony, I have broken into your snack cabinet.
Okay, how dare you?
I'm just going to own it.
No, I'm honored.
You know
I am.
What?
Yeah.
We all know who has the good stuff around
here. It is full right now.
I know it is.
It is full.
Kind of freaks me out. Yeah. I'm like, Tony has chocolate.
Oh, I went Halloween candy shopping is what I did, but I've already eaten the whole thing of Reese's and Kit Kats.
Oh, good. Well, then I'm safe.
Yeah.
So, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'll probably get some more tomorrow. Okay. Right. Do you want to do one more?
Let's do one more. Let's end it strong.
Okay. Okay. All right. This is a good one. Okay. Will my therapist judge me?
Oh, such another great question.
Okay.
Don't you think that's a common misconception that your therapist is, whether they're silently, you know, overtly or covertly going to pass judgment on you?
Yeah.
I think that is so true. But again, right? If your therapist is judging you,
yes,
you probably need a new therapist,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Our job is not to pass judgment. And here's the thing I tell all my clients. There is nothing 10 years into this that you could tell me that I haven't heard or
seen. Okay, I see the same thing all the time, right?
All the time. And it's kind of sad, right? Because we've become a little jaded.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard things that I think most people can't even wrap their brain around.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, some of the stuff we were talking about in our training today.
Totally.
But we won't go there. But
we
won't go
there, right? You're right. And so I do tell people, you know, far be it for me to pass judgment on you. That's not my job.
Yeah.
Right? My job is to walk beside you and we're going to figure all of this out.
So I say this cheesy thing where I say, I want, if I had a device that I had right here beside me and it was my holy crap-o-meter. And so when they, spit take.
Right?
Oh, that'd
be
good.
Bottle,
so then if they're getting, you know, I'm saying this thing, I don't think you can even get it to go to one. Right.
Yeah.
So whatever you're going to tell me right now, I want to know. And it's data and I can, and that's what I need to work with and all of those sort of things. Right.
Yeah. But again, I really honor again, the client who can come in and tell you some of the most horrific, scary things that have happened to them.
Yeah.
Right. Embarrassing to some, right. Traumatizing.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it takes a lot. And again, you talked about our early days of our career. I can remember thinking as someone was telling me the most awful story that I'd ever heard in my life, right?
Yeah.
I kept thinking, is my face okay? Am I not, you know, am I not?
Oh, right.
You know, am I showing horror? Am I,
you
know, keeping that nice, flat kind of affect? Or am I projecting the right amount of empathy? And now, of course, you know, it just comes natural to us. But, right? I mean, in the beginning, didn't you think, A, I'm going to start crying.
Yeah.
B, my jaw is going to drop
and
my eyes are going to bug out.
Yep.
You're going to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
You made me remember, do you remember your very first client ever?
I can remember my very first client.
Okay. You want to go first?
No, you go.
Okay. So mine was, I was working at this place, nonprofit. I wasn't getting paid. I'm a brand new therapist. I get this, you know. And of course I want to protect it. I mean, it's been over a decade, but, so I'll give it in generalities, but it was a single dad and the wife was not around because of some things that she had done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, I think, three teenagers at the time. Mm-hmm. And he's just talking about all the stuff they're doing with, it's like just crazy, horrible activities.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying, what do I do? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I don't even know.
I don't know, buddy.
Okay. I know. And the funny part was at one point he's like, he said something like, you know, and we, like, they're stealing cable, you know, and I remember I kind of, you know, they were like splicing it from a neighbor or whatever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember like going off on this little thought thing where I'm like, huh, so if they get caught doing that, like, is that a bad thing or is that a, you know, or I'm doing all this
in your brain.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa,
wait, come back.
Present.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm back.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
No, we all do our time. Most of us in the trenches right out of grad school, right? You get kind of really thrown into some tough places. I too worked at a couple nonprofits and I would say a very tough population to work with. So my first client out of the gate was a doozy. I mean, it was trauma and, again, just kind of this unfolding of this horrific story. And I'm sitting here thinking, help. You know, like, where's my supervisor?
Oh, yeah.
Is someone watching? Right?
Yeah,
you know, I need help.
Yeah.
But then something clicks because I think all of us who are in this profession, who have done this profession for as long as we have, there's something in us that clicks.
Yep.
Or it's an art form. I don't know. It's what we're supposed to be doing. And that empathy and that compassion kind of just comes to the surface, and we learn to be right there with the client
in
the moment.
That I was going to say, that's the thing that I think that was when it clicked for me, was when it wasn't, I mean, you know, we're all human, but it was when I'm in a session, they feel like they're 10 minutes, not 50 minutes. You're locked in, you're present, you're not thinking about what's for lunch or what, you know, and cause I, you know, I think shortly after my first client where that was an experience, I remember at one point having a guy tell me some things, and I was kind of stuck on what do I say about this?
Right.
I didn't stay with him. And then he throws out a, I don't know, do you think that's a good thing? And I just blurt out, yeah. And he's like, seriously?
Yeah.
And I had to quickly go, well, I don't know. Go, hang on.
Let's go over that again.
Right. And I'm going, oh, you know what? I can't. Yeah.
No, but that is, it's scary. And again, I like that you said we are all human.
Yeah.
And there's going to be times when we have problems staying with the client. But most of the time, this far into the game now, that's where we are really proficient.
Yeah, we're able, I think,
to
so
really
present
stay
in
there,
there. Yeah.
Right, even if your stomach's growling a little bit, or
you had that,
you're thinking about what am I going to do when I get home.
Yeah,
we still have that ability to be right there.
Yeah,
I don't think it's been years since I've had that experience where I'm like, what did they just say?
Because
you're thinking, what am I going to say next?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that kind of leaves. Okay, so I will tell you when you just said a rumbling stomach. So I do think, I used to always think about, it would be fun to do this like kids book called The Gassy Therapist.
The Gassy Therapist.
Right. Cause every now and again, you know,
we're human.
Yeah. And that's a rough time, right?
Do not eat tacos before your afternoon.
Fair point. If you look in my thing there, I've got some dried fruit. That's never eat more than four prunes
ever.
Nope.
Cause then you're going to make a quick exit.
Yeah.
I mean, here it is, folks. Real confessions of real therapists.
Yeah. You know what? So I recorded one a couple of weeks ago on this race I ran, this 100K. And one of the things that I didn't talk about after that I thought was kind of funny to me was, so here's one that is kind of fun. So when I run one of these super long races, anything over 50 miles or whatever, I'll lose a lot of weight in fluid during the race.
Yeah.
Like this last one, I lost 9 pounds, right, on the race.
Gosh.
So then when you're done with the race, you're going to hydrate like a champ. And then your body's going to say, hey, this idiot might go do that again. Let's hang on to everything he gives us for the next couple of days.
Oh.
So then I actually ended up gaining that 9 plus an additional 8. So there was like this 17 pound swing, right? So then I come into therapy on Monday and I'm fine. I'm like kind of, you know, I'm good. I'm sore, but I'm good. Well, this is like to a T. By Tuesday, then the body goes, all right, we're good. He's not going to do it again.
Okay.
Let's pee every 10 minutes.
Oh,
so imagine that in sessions, right?
And you're like tapping your toe.
Because I am not. Have you ever like?
I've excused myself.
I mean, okay.
Super embarrassed. I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not epic. Or I've had colleagues who have gotten sick, thrown up in the middle of session.
Whoa.
You know, they're hardcore, man. They're
yeah, they
stay
are,
with
right?
it, and then
yeah.
they're like, you're going to have to excuse me.
That's pretty funny. So,
again,
okay.
We are human.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. All right. Sean Roberts, what a pleasure.
It was so
fun, right?
Fun. Thank
okay.
You for
so, yeah.
Me
so,
on.
We're going to have you on to talk about, you know, maybe the trauma piece
you
or trail trauma
maybe
or something like that.
Trauma,
yeah. So, do that.
Or any other population. You know me.
Well,
I'm kind
okay.
Of
so, when I first thought of the idea of the podcast, I mean, Shauna does a lot with personality disorders. And especially, there's a big one called borderline personality
Absolutely.
Disorder. Where I think, you know, therapists, when we're talking amongst each other, it's like, man, you never want to have more than one borderline.
Yep.
And, I mean, you've had, what's the most you've ever juggled at one time?
8, 9.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's
okay.
a lot. It's a lot. And I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
I mean, that, you know, I've learned.
Yeah,
but
that
that's a, there's a lot of misinformation about borderline out there. And I would love to come in and maybe even do Q&A about borderline personality or just talk about it in general
that's
terms.
Good. Okay.
Yeah,
so, all right. So we'll do that. So thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
And,
thank you.
And we will talk again soon.
Sounds
and
great.
And I will see you next time on
Awesome.
The Virtual Couch.
Compressed emotions flying past our heads and out the other end. The pressures of the daily grind, it's wonderful. Elastic waste and rubber ghost, I'm floating past the midnight hour. They push aside the things that matter most. It's I'm to heal the legs and hearts you broke. The pain, it's worth.